Hello, and welcome to the Sharp Side Podcast. I'm your host, Chaz Parada. Austin Tark, James Bader on the horn with me. What is this, week 13?
Yeah, 12. Wait, 13, my bad.
13? All right, 13. Yeah. Week 13 in the NFL season. Are we feeling rested and rejuvenated post-Thanksgiving?
I'm excited for December. I think this is the perfect month. I love it. We got bowl games coming up, college basketball heating up, and then the NFL final month of the year. It's going to be a good month.
Absolutely. Week 12 came and went. Surprising. We got Thanksgiving. We had a ref show, a Bills demolition, and a toilet bowl. So depending on how you enjoy your football, you could have really hated every single game on Thanksgiving. I will say, as someone who needed the Cowboys for Survivor, it was very disappointing. It was a very disappointing weekend. Austin, any big takeaways from this past weekend in the National Football League?
Well, our New York parlay hits once again for the second time this season. And for only the third time in the last 3 years. I thought that was a fun fact with the Giants and Jets winning. My takeaway is Matt Stafford is still hurt. And that Rams team is struggling a lot. I mean, they're going to make the playoffs. Their schedule upcoming is not that good. But the Packers kind of rolled them. And they now sit at the 5 seed. Stafford doesn't look good. They look like they're needing Robert Woods, even though OBJ he did have a good touchdown. But that team is starting to fall apart. We'll see. They're in a good bounce back spot this week, but they were my biggest takeaway.
I'm not so sure I agree with the spot. James, I hope that was enough time for you to finish your pizza. But any takeaways from last weekend?
Yeah, I never want to see Cam Newton throw a football again. I think he was 5 for 21 was his final stat line with 2 picks. He completed one pass to DJ Moore for like 60 yards. The other 4 passes were thrown shorter than 5 yards from the line of scrimmage. So please never show me him again on my screen unless he's running it into the end zone. We couldn't have been much worse.
James, Sam Darnold or Cam Newton? Who are you starting if Darnold's healthy?
Myself. probably Darnold. I mean, that was the worst performance I've seen in a long time from an NFL quarterback.
Yeah. He's just kind of old, broken down now. The shoulder probably isn't right. Let's see, best bet records. James, you continue to actually all three of us are best bets last weekend. Good for us.
You guys are slowly coming back to 500.
Slowly coming back to 500. Your boy is at 500 now. Okay, we're at 6-6 on the year, James. You better be crapping your pants with how fast I'm coming up in the rearview mirror. Okay, Austin, 5-7.
That's 3 in a row. Come on now.
No, you're. Hey, we're building. We're building. Yeah, all right. We are. And then James, 9-2-1. I will say, I'm shocked that James isn't bragging that he's like a millionaire right now, because his college record is absolutely. I think we were talking about it last night. 61%, I believe. And yeah. And then best bet record is 9-2-1. So I'm sure you could do. What would that be? 80% ish.
9/11. It's like 80 some.
Yeah. Well, 82. Anyways, it's good.
81.8.
Thank you, Austin.
It's 81.81 repeating. Damn, I should have got that.
Thanks, you nerd. James, you're in first, as you pretty much have been all year. So for our first best bet, I believe we are going Minnesota, Detroit, right?
Correct.
Minnesota is laying 7. Total is at
46.5.
46.5. James, who do we like in this game?
We like the Vikings. To start, Kirk Cousins is undefeated in his 7 games against the Lions, so he's 7-0. On the road specifically, so at Detroit, he scored 27, 42, and 35 points with a TD to INT ratio of 10-0. So he has pretty good familiarity with the Lions, and he does pretty well on the road. The Lions have played better recently, but one sec. Yeah.
Great radio.
Sorry. My pocket. You good? Just leave him on the table down there.
It's great radio.
All right, I'm gonna have to restart.
That's fine. Just here, I'll pull you in.
Okay.
All right, give me 5 seconds. All right, James. 9-2-1, leader in the clubhouse, as you have been all year. For your best bet, we are headed to Detroit, where the Lions are a 7-point underdog, and the total is at 46.5. They are playing host to the Minnesota Vikings. Who do we like in this game for your best bet?
We like the Vikings -7. We like to bounce back here and get right. To start, Kirk Cousins is 7-0 in his 7 career games against the Lions. More specifically, on the road, so at Detroit, where this game is, he scored 27, 42, and 35 points with a TD to INT ratio of 10-0. He's thrown for over 300 yards in all three of those games. He just has the Lions' numbers, quite frankly, and so do the Vikings. The Lions, on the other side, have played better ball their last three games, and they've covered all three. But if you look at the stats and kind of some of the projections, it doesn't project to the way it finished. The Steelers, they were outgained by 80, and I thought they were pretty fortunate. Goff threw for like 8 yards that game. The Steelers were just so bad. Mason Rudolph was worse. The Browns outgained about 104 and were up 13-0 in that game, and then DeAndre Swift busted off a 60-yard run. Who will not be playing this game. And then last week, they were gained by the Bears about 140 and let Dalton throw for 317. I mean, if you're letting Dalton throw for 317, I can only imagine what Kirk Cousins is going to throw for. And I mentioned DeAndre Swift is not playing this week. He is the catalyst to that offense. I mean, we saw what happened against the Bears when he went out of the game. They just couldn't run the ball, couldn't really move the ball until that one drive. And we were pretty lucky they covered, honestly. But I like the Vikings to get right here. I think my angle in this game would actually be the Vikings team total over. But if I'm playing a side, I'm going to lay with the Vikings. I think the Vikings can score whenever they want here. The absence of Dalvin Cook doesn't really scare me. I think Alex Mattison's a pretty good backup. And quite frankly, they don't really need to run the ball here. If they let Kirk air it out, I like their chances. And I think they score 27 to 32 points in this one. Or sorry, 27 or 30 or more. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm on James' side as well. It's not a like. I'm preferring to just play it as a teaser, but I agree all of his points. I think, honestly, the loss of Dalvin Cook could be a good thing. Just they might be passing more on early downs, and as James hit on, that pass game is going to be able to do whatever they want in this game. I mean, 2 weeks ago, we just saw the Browns laying 13 points against the Lions. I don't understand how we're only seeing 7 here. I understand the Browns were at home for that matchup, but it still feels short. I think this number should be well over 7. I think Vikings -7 is the play.
Can't find much to disagree with you guys. Certainly think that the Vikings passing offense has hit a stride recently. So, I mean, certainly optimistic on when the Vikings have the ball. Although I do think that Jared Goff might actually be able to move the ball a little bit on the Vikings defense, where, you know, it's not exactly the finest unit in the land. But I think a total at 46.5 seems a little bit low. I think it'd be better at 48. And, it's Jared Goff in a dome. Like, that's normally where he thrives. So, you know what? If they can put up, you know, 21 points, I don't think that's super far out of the question. I still think that the Vikings will be able to move it, score some points, and I do think that this total can go over.
Do the Lions win a game this season?
I think their best chance to win is at Seattle in, like, week 15.
I think they do.
They still play at Atlanta as well.
Who's their last
game? I don't think Atlanta's that horrible.
Who's what? The Packers.
Yeah.
Packers might not be starting Rodgers. Maybe they beat up Jordan Love.
Okay. I'll believe in you, Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell sucks too. The end of that Bears game was...
That was clock management.
Atrocious.
Atrocious.
Unbelievable.
As a Lions better who needed the cover, thank you very much, Dan Campbell. But that was really bad.
That was a gift from the gods. Oh my God.
Austin, we'll kick it to you next because I am a nice guy. For your best bet, where am I? I'm lost.
Going to Kansas City.
Oh, we are going to Kansas City, where the quickly improving Kansas City Chiefs are laying 9.5. Total is at 47. And they're playing host to the Denver Broncos, coming off a very strong showing against the Los Angeles Chargers. Austin, who do we like here?
I'm on Denver. You know, I'm always on Kansas City. It seems like all season I back them, and they usually bite me in the butt. But the main reason for this handicap is Kansas City has struggled all season against a cover two defense. And Fangio plays a cover two defense. Their secondary matches up very well in this scheme. And this has been a defense that's frustrated the Chiefs all season long. And I'll admit the last two games, they've looked pretty good against the Raiders and the Cowboys. But I said in both of those handicaps beforehand that the Chiefs, they do not play cover two defenses and they rely more on cover three. And sure enough, the Chiefs offense excelled. So I'm kind of buying in on this Broncos defense, and I'm not totally sold on the fact that Kansas City's offense was just fixed in the bye week and in their two performances against the Cowboys and Raiders, which in that Cowboys game, they still scored under 20 points. I just think it's too large of a spread. And for a division game where this Broncos team is still playing feisty, they still have playoff hopes. I was impressed with that offense last week. The ground game looked pretty good. It was against abysmal Chargers rush D, but the offense looked pretty good. And that defense is solid. And when you have a 10-point spread, I just think it's pretty valuable. My fear here is the fact that I'm sure the narrative that's been talked about all week is Andy Reid off a bye. But I think it's too many points. I'm going to stick my foot in the sand and I'm going to fade Kansas City and take Denver here.
James, what do you think?
I lean that way. It was a borderline like for me, but like Austin said, I just don't really trust Denver that much. And Andy Reid off a bye is a strong trend if you just look at it historically. I like what I've seen out of the Chiefs, but I thought the Broncos were really impressive last week. They definitely got a little healthier off that bye week. Definitely a lean for me. If I had to play it, if like in pick'ems and stuff, I'll be on Denver, but I don't have a lot on this one.
Yeah, I really like the under here. I think that this Chiefs defense is, the number is 47. This Chiefs defense is one that's just been very steadily improving. I think that the way the Broncos offense sets up is very conservative, as it just kind of plays with Teddy Bridgewater's strengths. And if you're not trying to expose the Chiefs down the middle of the field, especially, which I do think they can do, the Broncos with an athletic tight end, I just don't think they will. And because, I mean, the Chiefs secondary has been improving, and the Chiefs D line has just completely flipped a switch where I'm sure you can point out to, and Austin was mentioned this before, you know, it was Jordan Love, you know, a Raiders offense that was very much struggling. They've been able to dominate other offensive lines that aren't necessarily that bad. And so, and I think that's where much of the recent defensive success has come from. And then, like Austin mentioned, just all these those good points about facing cover two defenses. And I do think that Patrick Mahomes, he has not had his finest year. In fact, I would argue this has been his worst year as a professional. So I do think that maybe the Chiefs do struggle a little bit to move the ball. But this bet is just mainly due to my belief in an improving Chiefs defense. And I do think that they will be able to confuse Teddy a little bit. So like under 47 here. Anything else to add?
There is some, I wouldn't say weather in this game, but there are high winds when it's supposed to kick off. It looks like 15 mile per hour winds from 7 p.m. to midnight on that day and time. So
I think that also favors the Broncos.
Yeah, definitely. I would
agree. All right. My best bet, we are heading to Seattle, where the 49ers are laying 3 on the road against the Seahawks. Total is sitting at 45.5. And honestly, I actually think I had a real hard time picking out the best bet this week. I mainly just like a bunch of totals, but I'm rolling with the Niners, and I may regret it at some point, but while they are banged up, I just think that they're going to be able to do whatever they want against Seattle Seahawks. Russell Wilson is clearly still hurt or banged up or something. Something's wrong with Seattle Seahawks defense, offense. And I do think that the Niners defense will do enough to hold the Seahawks to minimal points. And then the loss of Deebo Samuel hurts, but I think that Elijah Mitchell and how well the Niners offensive line has been playing, I think it's going to unlock something, or something has been unlocked. And so I'm confident in their ability to move the ball and kind of control field position. And with only 3 points, I do think that this is a pretty decent spot for the Niners, who are surging. They're in contention. And for the Seattle Seahawks, I think that last week was a little bit of a dream crusher, where if they won the game, they're 4-7 and still have an outside shot at the playoffs, 3-8. They are far, far back of the division lead and even in a more, even deeper hole with all these other teams in front of them for the wild card.
But Chaz, so, they sign Adrian Peterson to show that they're in win now mode.
Yeah. You know what? Scratch that. No, I'm kidding. Adrian Peterson is not going to get DK Metcalf the ball, sadly. And he had, what was it, like one target in the first half and then three the whole game. And until they start getting their good players the ball, in space especially, I just don't see how their offense is going to be able to put up points. It's going to be like the most square side of the week. But yeah. I have a hard time seeing the Seahawks just kind of come out and be ready to punch the Niners in the mouth. I will say my big worry here is that the Seahawks defense keeps it close enough to where like the offense is able to put a couple drives together. But because the Seahawks defense played pretty well last week, all things considered, they were able to limit drives. And while the football team did move the ball a little bit, I don't know. I'm just out on the Seahawks right now. So I'm just going with the fade route. Austin, what's your take on this game?
I'm with you. I would be on the Niners. It's just, being on a road favorite in this game is just going to push me off, especially in the NFC West, where it seems like the road favorite wins every time. And the fact that they're out Debo, I just want to see this offense without Debo, considering how good he's been in the last couple of weeks. But I do believe that they're the side. I mean, look, last week, the Seahawks defense was on the field for 80-plus defensive snaps. And this 49ers team is going to run the ball all game. It's going to be a cold game as well, 30 degrees. It's just not a good recipe for a defense that was just on the field on a short week. Against Washington last week, and the Vikings have a better defense than Seattle, and the Niners moved it at will last week on them. So I do think the Niners are going to be able to get theirs. Here's a stat. Jimmy G is leading the NFL in EPA per play since week 5. Let's see here. I do believe they're the play, but I'm going to stay away just because road favorite in this tough division. It seems like the home dog always wins these battles.
Yeah, I'm with you, Chaz. This is a borderline best bet for me as well. I can't get down on the Seahawks offense right now. They had 10 first downs last week and 5 of them came on the last drive. I think 2 were because of penalty. And the Niners are just a bad matchup stylistically. Like, they're going to run the ball here and control the clock. If you want to look at just time possession the last 3 games, the Seahawks have had it for 18 minutes, 19 minutes, and 20 minutes. On the other side, the Niners have had the ball for 37 minutes, 38 minutes, and 39 minutes. So who do you think is going to have the ball and run the ball and just control the clock the whole game? It's going to be the Niners. And I just don't trust Seattle to convert first downs and get down the field in the limited time they do have the ball. I mean, we saw last week, I think they ran like 25, 30, at least less plays than Washington. I just think the Niners are the better team at this very moment with Russell Wilson's injury or whatever's going on right now. I just don't trust them. And I think 3 is a little short here.
All right. Before we hit a quick little ad right now, Austin, why don't you recap the best bets for us?
Let's see. James had Vikings -7. Against the Lions. I had the Broncos +9.5. Go find yourself a 10 at Kansas City. And Chaz had the San Francisco 49ers -3.5 at Seattle.
All right. Now, quick word from Anchor. All right. Thanks to Anchor. Before we get into the rest of the plays, if you don't already, and if you are a new listener, go follow us on Twitter at the Sharpside Pod. Whole lot of stuff. Especially college basketball related. College basketball, I mean, it's going to be going on for 3 to 4 more months. So, I mean, I actually probably close to 4.5. We got picks essentially every day. I actually don't think we have any today, but we did pretty well last night. Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Please do it. Send us up the charts. And then finally, if you're listening on Spotify, anywhere else, just go ahead and hit that subscribe or follow button, whatever it is, truly helps us out. And you know what, if there's something you think we're missing, maybe you want to call us dumb. Maybe you want to call us smart. We like hearing that. We've got egos. Hit us in the DMs, tweet at us, whatever it is. We love hearing from you guys. So,
let us know if we showed up in your Spotify recap. They show like top listen to podcasts.
They're Wrapped.
Yeah, if we're there, if you send us that and we're in it, we'll follow you guys. That's what the incentive is.
Absolutely. Sunday.
With the giveaway.
Yeah. Sunday. Hit Vikings Lions. The Arizona Cardinals are going to Soldier Field to take on the Chicago Bears. Bears are getting 7.5 points at home. Total is at 43.5. James, my friend, is Kyler Murray coming back this week?
I don't know. He posted something on Twitter that was kind of cryptic. It was like a Thanos meme, like a GIF. I think he's going to play. If it is the case and this line jumps towards 10, I would consider betting on the Bears. I just think the adjustment is too much, especially when, I mean, we saw Aaron Rodgers. We're now seeing Russell Wilson. A lot of these quarterbacks who get this bye or are coming back from injury struggle. And it's going to be in the cold weather too. And he's not used to that. The Cardinals aren't used to that. It'll be a tough adjustment. Yes, they are coming off the bye and we'll have additional time to prepare, but you almost think this is a game they overlook. I mean, it's the lowly Bears. I don't think they're going to come out and play super well, especially in like cold weather. For the full game at 7.5 right now, I lean to the Bears, but I think it's Bears will pass me on this one.
James makes really good points there. Just it'll be 39 degrees, possible rain, 14-mile-per-hour winds. And then, yeah, they have a look ahead of the Rams next week. And the fact that Kyler returning, possibly rusty, Hopkins possibly rusty after not playing since October for Kyler, it keeps me off this Cardinals team. I will say, I think this Cardinals defense matches up pretty well. They have a strong defensive line. They've been getting a lot of pressure on the quarterback. And the Bears have taken the most sacks in the NFL. So I think that is a big advantage there. But I'm going to stay away. James has a good point. If that line does get up to 10 when Kyler gets announced in, especially with extra time to prepare, it might be a good time place to take Chicago.
Yeah, full agreement with you guys. The Bears were – a couple of days ago, I was thinking about them as best bet. It just felt a little too ugly just because of how they played last week. I think with Fields, I'd like it a little bit more. But what do you guys think about the total? I feel like 43.5.
Is it not going to be Fields?
I think it's Dalton.
I thought it was going to be Dalton.
Oh, it is? Okay. That's what they said next, too.
Oh, yeah. Wait, do you like the under right now?
No, but I'm looking at it. Hey, Weatherman.
I said it. 39, 14-mile-per-hour winds and light rain.
Okay.
I think if you like the Bears, you got to like a lower scoring game. So I think the Bears and the under could be correlated here. But in terms of just total, I don't really have a lean either which way.
That's reasonable. And especially if it gets up to 10, I that might even be too high to where books might not even let you parlay it. But if you can get like a Kyler starts, you can get like a +8.5 with the under. I think that's pretty valuable. So yeah. All I got there, move on to the Buccaneers at the Atlanta Falcons, where the Falcons are getting 11.5 points. Totals at 50.5. And we got a couple Buccaneers in the news, Antonio Brown and Mike Edwards, not Mike Evans. I think they used fake vaccination cards. So,
Did you see? Brown suspended 3 games.
Yeah,
that's crazy because he's hurt anyway, so he was going to miss the next 2 weeks. But it's a big deal. He should have just said he was immunized.
Yeah, that does seem like a little loophole. I like the Falcons in this game. I think 11.5 is too many points. And we saw in the first matchup when the Buccaneers hosted, a little bit of a misleading box score. I believe the Buccaneers had 3 interceptions, and I think 2 of them might have been taken to the house. Which kind of led to a misleading final. I think the Falcons barely outgained the Bucks, but it was also a pretty close game until about midway through the third quarter. And that being said, it was with Calvin Ridley. He does matter a whole lot. It's just someone you just truly have to focus on when you're preparing. And outside of Cordarrelle Patterson, who is making a case for just the most freak athlete in the NFL right now, in just terms of like what he does on the football field, it's certainly looking like the Falcons are struggling to put together an offensive identity. Are we going to get a good Matt Ryan versus this banged up Bucks defense?
Yeah, I'm with you. Atlanta's one of my likes. I just looked at that first matchup a lot, and I remember being on Atlanta in that game, and it was a 3-point game with 9 minutes to play. And here we are. I like him with Cordarrelle Patterson. I think that offense, we saw what happened when he was out for those 2 weeks, and then he comes back last week, and that offense looked pretty good. I think at the very least, they're very live for a backdoor. I mean, 11 points is a big number, especially with a Tampa team who doesn't exactly have all the incentive in the world to run up the score. And they have Buffalo on deck next week. Or not Buffalo. Yeah, they have Buffalo on deck next week. So, they might just want to get out of there with a win. So I like the play. I like +11.
You guys made a pretty good case. I leaned the other way originally, but the spot does line up well for the Falcons. And they did play them incredibly close the first time before 2 pick-sixes in the fourth quarter kind of took them out of it. I think I'd lean Atlanta plus 11 here.
Any thoughts on the total? I think 15.5 might feel like a touch too high.
With AB out and receiver issues, yeah, I think it is a little high. I guess AB's always been out, but yeah, I don't know. I thought it was interesting last week how Tampa just relied so much more on the ground game when that's really not their style of play. Shows you they can get it done in multiple ways.
That's true. And on top of that, Ali Marpet was out too, which he's a really good run blocking guard.
That's significant.
I did see that he was limited at practice this week, so he's at least practicing again. I lean under, probably not necessarily a bet for me at right now, but let's move on to the Colts, who are traveling to Houston, where they're laying 10 points against the Texans, and the total is at 45.5. I'll start. I have a first half angle on this, and I think that first half Texans money line is going to be a little valuable. So I really like Frank Reich. I saw plus 255 at the time of recording. I really like Frank Reich, but I think I'm worried that he's going to let everyone telling him to run the ball more is going to get to his head, and that the Colts might find themselves at a first half deficit just because they only want to just run. And that might not be a great recipe for success. I think they're going to be able to, they should be able to do whatever they want in short to intermediate to deep passing against the Texans. But I think that for a secondary that has struggled a little bit, and I think last week that we kind of saw Tom Brady pick him apart, both in the air and on the ground. I think that the Texans are be able to score enough, say maybe put up 10 points, only hold the Colts to 7. You get a Carson Wentz turnover, and I think the Texans are very live here. I don't really want any part in a full game, but I do think that getting, more than a 2-1 dog, I think that there are plenty of scenarios where the Texans can have a couple things go their way. And maybe if Frank Reich is reading the press clippings a little too much, then maybe you get some bad drives to start for the Colts, and the Texans start out the first half with the lead. James, what do you think?
So many of these games are just big spreads. I don't know what to do. This is one of them. The Colts are taking a lot of steam this week. I think this is like 7 or 7.5 to open up. Still need the Colts. Really? Yeah.
I had a teaser leg. I can't believe we're at 10 right now.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. But I lean to the Colts. I mean, people were criticizing Frank Reich last week for not running the ball enough, which is kind of perplexing because the Bucs have the best run defense in the NFL. So that's why you don't run right into the chief of the defense. But I think he comes out here and runs it with whoever he wants. I mean, we saw the Jets last week have success on the ground against the Texans. But the Colts can obviously duplicate that. And they did the first time they played as well. So I don't really see any reasons for that not to happen here. I think 45.5 might be low in this one. I think the Colts can score and probably get to 30. And I think with Tyrod Taylor, the Texans can actually score here too. So if I had anything to play here, it'd probably be a lean to the over.
I'm with you, James. Chaz, I'm sorry. I completely disagree with your take. I don't even think Carson Wentz has to throw a single pass in this game. They should just run. Like, the Jets had 160 rushing yards last week. Jonathan Taylor is going to do whatever the hell he wants in this game. And then I think this number shot up a little bit, mainly because David Johnson in practice, Brandon Cooks didn't practice, Justin McCray, their guard, didn't practice. So there's a lot of guys for the Texans who might not even be playing for this. I'm going to continue to be on the Colts. I think John Taylor's just going to roll in this. 10 is too big of a number at this point. I put him in a teaser leg. I thought this was the best teaser play of the week. And I cannot believe that number's gone now. But now we're in a zone where I wouldn't lay anything.
Okay. I don't know. I'd think that if they do, the reason why the Colts got out to such a big lead was because they were passing ball, and people are going to criticize the Colts's, people were criticizing the Colts for not running enough when they scored, 35 points on the Bucs or 31 points on the Bucs.
Yeah.
And I just think if the Colts do decide to run more, I think it's just kind of easy to game plan against. And even if you don't necessarily have the bodies up front, like, you know, the Bucs do, or, I could argue that the Texans have the least amount of bodies up front. But I just
at every position,
it's a divisional game. I just think it's I would also like to stress, I could easily see this going Texans up 10-7.5, and then they lose 31-7, 31-10. But I think getting over 2-1 is kind of valuable here. So, agree to disagree a little bit. Eagles at the Jets. Eagles are laying 7. Total is at 45. Austin, you do have a like here, right?
I have the under. Yeah, I think this is a really interesting handicap. I mean, looking back, on first glance, I want to take the Jets, actually, considering Jalen Hurts, he hurt his ankle last week, and they just came off a great defensive performance last week. And according to Chaz's stats, which DVOA is correct, they're ranked 3rd in the league, bottom 3 in the league in rush defense. But I have a stat here saying they're 13th in run-stop win rate. I don't exactly know what that means, but I'm at least hoping that they can stop the Eagles' rush defense a little bit. And with Jalen Hurts' pass game with his ankle hurt, maybe their pass game will not be at the same level that it was the last couple weeks. We saw last week with the Giants when they couldn't get their ground game going and they were forced to rely on Jalen Hurts. The offense kind of fell apart and they didn't look like they were the month prior. But then as the week has gone on, I've slowly moved to the Eagles side, mainly because I really like the idea of them returning to the same exact building. They just played against the Giants last week. It'll be the same travel, same hotels. It's a short travel from Philadelphia to New York. So it's almost, I think, could be a motivational spot considering you were just here and you just lost to a shitty team. But then you lost in the way you did where you drop a pass on the goal line that easily should have won the game. And there was multiple other plays in that game where they should have won the game. So I'm mixed in between sides, but I'm going to take the under mainly because I still don't trust Zach Wilson. I don't think he's going to be able to do anything. This Jets O-line is so weak, and Zach Wilson takes so many sacks. Philly is going to have their way on him. And I'm going to bank on this fact that the Jets are 13th in run-stop win rate, and they're going to be able to slow down the Eagles' rush game a little bit. And if Jalen Hurts is not 100%, then I think that plays into the under as well.
James, what do you think?
All solid points. I don't really have a whole lot on the total. There's two scenarios where I can see this going over if it is a low-scoring game. One being Zach Wilson throwing picks and just turning the ball over. He has that big play ability or big play for the defense ability. And then two, I wonder if the Eagles, if they get a lead in this one, do they sit on it with Hurts' health or do they try to get a lead here? And that just that offense kind of, you know, gets rolling again after that poor performance last week. But in terms of side, I've had like the same exact kind of week as you. I started out wanting to bet the Jets. You hear about Jalen Hurts' ankle. And now I've shifted more towards the other way. You made a lot of good points. If you look at the box score last week, they actually like, they should have won the game. They had three turnovers or four turnovers. No, they had four because it's three picks and a fumble. And they had two. They still had two chances to win the game at the end. If Rager catches either one of those balls, then I would definitely be looking to play the Jets here. But since they're coming off a loss, I think we get a pretty motivated Philly team. And I think they get after Zach Wilson. The Jets don't score a whole lot here.
I like the Eagles. They're in best bet consideration for me. Do kind of agree with your points. I think if it weren't for a Jalen Rager drop, this number might be even bigger. Several Jalen Rager drops, but the Jets just are not good. Zach Wilson looked very, very bad last week, and he just struggles with accuracy and at every single level. I think the Eagles should be able to dominate up front, both on offense behind their great offensive line and on defense. And James, you hit it. It will not shock me if Zach Wilson throws multiple picks. And I mean, we've seen Darius Slay take, I feel like, at least two back this year already. I wouldn't shock me.
He has three.
Oh, geez.
Two and a fumble or something.
Okay. It wouldn't shock me to see something along those lines in this game. The health of Jalen Hurts is a concern. His mobility is obviously incredibly important to his game. So that's kind of what kept me off a little bit. But I think the Eagles can roll here. And all of the Eagles' big wins, we've seen them just kind of continue to just run all over these teams and put up huge, gigantic numbers on them. And so I do think we're going to be able to kind of see something similar here because contrary to Austin, I think that the Jets' rush defense is very bad and one of the five or so worst in the National Football League. So that just sets up for a tough matchup against a team that has been running the ball at an incredibly high clip. So. Like the Eagles, to Cincinnati we go, where the Bengals are laying 3, hosting the Chargers, and the total is at 50.5. I'll start. I lean Chargers. I think that save a couple bounces, a couple drops, and I think that they might actually be winning at the end of that Denver Broncos game. They went for it, and they just went for a 4th-and-3 that they didn't ultimately get. The big worry here, obviously, is that the Bengals, who just run the ball so, so much on early downs, are going to be able to just pound down the Chargers' throat, and that just would not shock me very much. However, I call me the idiot. I'm just having a hard time buying into the Bengals, even after 11 games where they have won 7 of them. And I think that we see a much better performance from the Chargers this week. And like I said, it was a lot of drops that kind of killed drives and killed momentum. And I mean, ultimately last week, one of them contributed to a pick six. So I think in 3 is pretty valuable. I do think I can see that. I mean, it's the Chargers. So anytime, like give me 3, I mean, give me 3 either way. And I think I'd be taking the points when it involves the Chargers. So yeah, Chargers plus 3 is the lean for me. James, what do you think?
Yeah, this is actually like for me on Chargers plus 3. And I think you hit the nail on the head when you said either way, plus 3 in this game. I think I'd take plus 3 either way. I think it's going to be a really close game. I like the Chargers too, because the look ahead was 1.5. And I think just the outcomes of the games last week are creating a lot of value here. I mean, that was probably the second worst game the Chargers played all year. And they honestly, like, they still had a chance at the very end until the pick 6 to win that game, or at least have to like go down to the red zone and have some looks at the red zone, at the end zone. Jeez. And then the Bengals obviously dismantled the Steelers. What worries me, like you said, I don't know how the Chargers stop the run here. I mean, the Bengals have just been so effective all year. I think Mixon's the third leading rusher in the NFL, so that scares me a little bit. But I do expect the Chargers to bounce back here. And this just feels like a big game between two young quarterbacks and a kind of a back-and-forth game, so I'll gladly take the 3 here.
You got disagreement for me. I mean, I want no part of this game, but, I mean, I watched that Broncos game, and they threw the pick 6 when it was 21-7. They made it 28-7, which pretty much ended it. And, yeah, from a box score, they outgained them, but I kind of thought Denver controlled the whole thing. I'm looking at this game, and there's bad weather expected, 10-mile-per-hour winds, rain, and that just leads me to a team who has Joe Mixon, and against the worst rushing in the NFL, I think Joe Mixon is going to be able to do whatever he wants in this game. We got a horrible spot here for the Chargers, where they just went up to Denver. They had a comeback. Now they're flying cross country for a 10 a.m. start at Cincinnati. I just don't like the spot. I don't like this Chargers team. They're now 2-4 in their last 6 games. They're just struggling to put up really anything of consistency. I mean, if you're going to put up 20, give up 28 to that atrocious Broncos offense, yeah, that's my best bet. I think this Bengals offense is going to be able to do whatever they want. It's tough for me to take Cincinnati, because they're a team that's also just, they're hit or miss some weeks, and they just got their second win against the division foe Steelers last week. And could this be a letdown spot? Maybe. And then one more big injury piece for the Chargers, Matt Filer is their left guard, I believe. Yeah. And he was out last week. He's expected to be out again this week. And that offensive line collapsed last week against Denver. So I don't know. The signs are not pointing to the Chargers. I'm not on the Bengals, but by Sunday, I probably will be.
All right. To Miami we go. The Dolphins lane 4 against a possibly Daniel Jones-less New York Giants team. The total's at 40.5. Austin, I'll start with you. Are we believing in Tua?
You know, a little bit. I think Tua has been pretty impressive lately. They haven't played anyone. In general, I'm kind of just starting to believe in this Miami team. I mean, we came into the year expecting a top 10 defense, and here it is finally coming around a little bit. And I don't think Mike Glennon to Daniel Jones is a huge downgrade, but it's a downgrade in the sense that I think this Miami defense can take advantage of another poor quarterback, considering they've played quite a few lately. I don't have a side here. I think the fact that Devontae Parker's back should help, especially with Waddle's look pretty damn good lately. So that receiving core in Miami is looking pretty strong. I don't have much, but I am impressed with Tua. I think he's playing a lot smarter football. He's not losing games for this team. And I think the Giants kind of suck. So I think this is a good spot for Miami.
James, what about you?
Yeah, agreement. I lean towards the Dolphins. I think this is a borderline bet for me at this point. I wanted to bet the Giants this game, but if you take a little closer look at their game against the Eagles and what the Dolphins did to the Panthers, it kind of took me off that. And then the Daniel Jones uncertainty. If this is a Mike Glennon number, I will be laying this number with the Dolphins, but I think this is kind of hovering in the middle, moving back towards 3 if Daniel Jones plays, moving towards 6 if Glennon plays. So if 4 right now, I'm considering betting it, but nothing as of this moment.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'd look at a Dolphins team total over, if anything here. Dolphins have the lowest O-line win rate, pass blocking win rate in the NFL right now. but they're going to up against a Giants pass rush that has the lowest pass rush win rate in the NFL right now. So I do think, and we just saw the Dolphins put up 28 points. Tua's been playing great with very little help around him too. I think he might be first in EPA since he's EPA per play since he's been playing, which is just absurdly impressive. I think the four is scaring me off a little bit. It just kind of feels like too many points, especially if Daniel Jones is playing. But ultimately, I do think that the Dolphins win here. Austin, I know you were talking about the Eagles as a survivor pick. If Mike Glennon plays, I wouldn't necessarily hate the Dolphins there for you if you still
sure
have.
Sure, I
have. Yeah, true. Any thoughts on the total here, 40.5?
It is damn low.
Honestly, it seems a little low, especially if Daniel Jones plays. I think the Giants can probably get to 17 points.
Yeah.
Because I think the Dolphins get 24.
Yeah. I don't have much. I did just see their schedule. Dolphins have an interesting schedule where last week they were at Miami. This week they're at Miami. Then they go to a bye and they're at Miami again. So they're in Miami for an entire month before finally they travel to New Orleans to play in the Dome, which that's Monday night. Damn. I'll probably be on New Orleans that game.
That's interesting. I could potentially be on the other side there. But
it's like 3 weeks away.
Anything else to add?
I don't know. Dolphins are past this moment.
All right. To the afternoon we go, where the Washington football team, Austin's Washington football team.
Yes, sir.
Is getting 2 points on the road at the Death Star. The Raiders playing the host. And the total's at 49.5. Austin, I'll kick it to you.
First of all, my Jets fans and who listen to this podcast, I'm very upset. You just said my Washington football team, but yes, they are my football team.
Hold on. They are quickly becoming your Washington football team. I'm hearing way too much shit about how Ron Rivera is a good coach.
He's a good coach and they're making the playoffs. And you know what? Taylor Heineke is fucking nice. He's playing damn good lately. And he's appearing to prove every single week. I was impressed with him last week. He was making good plays. The game came down to the wire, but if they had a kicker, if they scored a touchdown on the final play, Washington left a lot of points on the field last week. They should have won easily. So I think that goes into this number a little bit. And then I look at this Raiders team, and yes, it was an impressive win last week, but there was, as Chaz mentioned at the beginning of the game, beginning of this podcast, it was a flag fest. There was 26 flags in that game. And not to mention, they lost Darren Waller, which I think is huge for this team, especially considering we've talked every single week how much this offense has changed since they lost Ruggs. Now they lose Waller as well. That's both their downfield threats. I think that's a big step back for this Raiders offense. And then I look at this Raiders defense, and I've been very impressed with their pass rush, but their pass defense has been pretty bad in recent weeks. And with Washington's offensive line looking very solid as of late, they had their center get hurt last week, which were to San Diego State. He came in, replaced him, and he did a phenomenal job. But the offensive line for Washington's done pretty good. So I think they can negate the Raiders pass rush. And if they do that, they can pick apart the secondary. So I really like Washington here. I liked it a lot more at +3, but I'll still take it 2.5, maybe even take a money line. The only thing that's holding me back, which James might hit me on because he's on the Raiders, is it is a tough spot. Washington coming off Monday night game, traveling across country. And I don't know who the fuck scheduled it. Oakland or Las Vegas is off a Thursday game, so they have extra rest versus a team with short rest. So that's the one thing holding me back, but I'm still going to be on Washington. I think they can roll.
Yeah, I'm on the other side. It's not a like for me. It's just a lean. I think the football team is getting too expensive. I think people are too high on them. At some point, I think they got to come crashing back down a little bit. I think they've been the beneficiary of good scheduling and like good spots and playing against weaker teams. The Bucs game was really impressive with the last three. And I give credit for that one, but I think they probably caught the Bucs a little sleepy off a bye week. And they just jumped out to lead and they didn't relinquish it, which props to them. It's not easy to hold against the Bucs and Tom Brady. But here, I just think 2.5 is a little cheap. I think the Raiders are fully in playoff contention, will be up for this game. So I don't think motivation is any bit of a question in this one, but the 4 days extra rest and prep time is huge. Short week, cross-country travel. And I think DeSean Jackson's presence for the Raiders is huge here. He takes the top off of defense. I mean, we saw last week with the PIs and the big plays that were created because of him. It adds another dimension that they had with Henry Ruggs and they haven't had for the last few weeks. So I think the Raiders are kind of getting back on the right track here, and I think it continues this week.
So I've got mixed feelings here. So on one hand, I think that the football team is trending up, despite injuries to seemingly every best player on or all their good players on defense. And I want to exit the Raiders Cowboys game thinking that the Raiders were incredibly, incredibly fortunate to have won that game. But when I take my biased glasses off a little bit, the Raiders had just as many flags called on them as the Cowboys did. And at some point, the Washington defense is going to regress a little bit. And I think that the Raiders offense is, while without Waller, I don't think it's horrible. I mean, like Moreau doesn't, I mean, he is no Darren Waller, of course, but he does do an admirable job catching Derek Carr's passes. If people are thinking about teasing us, I think it's a horrible idea. I think Washington is very live to lose this in a blowout, just like I think they are very live to win this game in a blowout. These are just two teams that like I can't really depend on for a stock, like solid performance where I'm, you know, like a high, just like a dependable medium performance is what I'm looking for. And I just have no confidence in either team being able to provide that. I'm staying away here. If anything, I lean over on the total. But I mean, the Raiders, they run a pretty slow tempo. Same with the football team. So that's just going to keep me off it a little bit at 49.5. Anything else here?
My only thing is just like, this is the same Raiders team that we kind of left out for dead last week.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I mean, being that they lost the Giants, the Chiefs, and the Bengals.
Hey, man, I didn't leave them out for dead. I bet on them.
Well, that's true. I also bet on them. but we look at like they win a great game against the Cowboys, who were missing three coaches. They were still missing all of the receivers, and I give them credit. But I'm just still not ready to buy into this Raiders team. I'm not ready to put them on the upward trend. I still think they're going to end at 7 wins. And not to mention, you got an extra time to prepare. Are you going to fully put all of your attention to Washington, or are you going to maybe put a little attention to the Kansas City Chiefs that's on deck the following week? So I don't know if maybe they spend a little extra time this week preparing for Kansas City. I don't know. I still like Washington as my side.
I have a hard time believing that you're just going to overlook the team, especially yeah, as playing football right now when you're in the thick of playoff contention. Yeah, if anything, wouldn't you want to win that game because you know the game at KC is going to be tougher?
Fair.
All right. The game of the weekend, the Jaguars at the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams are 13-point home favorites with a total at 48. James, we'll kick it to you to start. Do we like anything here?
We do like something. I like Rams first half minus 7. You mentioned it, you kind of alluded to it earlier. I think it's a good spot for the Rams, but it is a bit of a sandwich spot. They have lost the last three in a bit. I mean, they got to win.
That's a giant Jersey Mike's Club Supreme of a sandwich spot.
Which is why we're looking at the first half, baby.
Free advertising Mike's there.
So the Rams have looked bad the last 3 weeks. They've played poor football against three quality football teams. And I think this is just a get right spot for them. If you look at not even really the box score, but just the way the games have gone, all three games, the Rams have just gotten jumped on early in the game. And I think there'll be added importance and stress on this one of scoring early and getting a lead and then resting the starters in the second half if you are up enough. The sandwich spot we are talking about, they have the Cardinals on deck, but they got to win this game first. And I think they come out hot in the first half. And then if they get a large enough lead, they could rest some guys or maybe even pull Stafford with his injury concerns. So that's why I'm looking at the first half here. And I think the Jags could slide in the back door, but this just feels like a Rams game where they stomp the Jags. So Rams by 7 first half is my play.
I'm with you, James. I can't call it a pita pit sandwich spot, mainly because like this Rams offense is in a lot of trouble. Stafford looks hurt. I mean, honestly, I thought Wolford was going to play in this game, but this team is just, alarm bells are starting to sound. And this is what they do. They beat the shit up on shitty teams. They've done it all year. They did against the Giants, Bears. I can't think of a top of my head, but I think they're going to be able to score at will. And I like that first half angle a lot. And I don't love the Jags traveling. I look at them and last time they went west, Geno Smith put 34 points on them when they played Seattle. So it's tough to back this Jags team. So Chaz, I give you my blessing if you're really going to take them.
So this is reminiscent of a certain game that was played last year where a hapless Jets team was able to beat the Los Angeles Rams. I believe the Rams were at home too. Am I correct?
They were.
And now we get a situation where a hapless Jags team just have the spot of the century. And Austin, I feel like you were on the Rams last week or last year when, or excuse me, I feel like you were on the Jets last year. I mean, they are your J-E-T-S, Jets after all. In a certain spot that was very similar to this where possibly overvalued Rams at home. And
are they overvalued right now?
With that offense, and I think that the Robert Woods style of offense with a healthy Stafford is still being factored in here. So I kind of do think they're overvalued a little bit. I mean, they're great on defense, but I think that the Jags are going to be able to keep it low scoring enough. So, okay, my play here is the under. I'm not calling for a Jags money line win. I'm not quite that bold. But I lean Jags plus 13, and I do think it's correlated to the under. I think the only way this under loses is if we get like a pick six or too late. It should be a pretty slow game. I mean, Sean McVay loves punting on fourth down. He's pretty conservative in general. I do think we get, and like, that's the under's dream, right? You want them to get to the 40 and punt the ball. So I think that at 48 points is way too high. I mean, this total is bigger than Broncos Chiefs. It's bigger than Eagles Jets. There's just too many points here, especially at the key number 48, which it's ticked up. I think it was 47.5 earlier. I just don't really see it. I think there's value on the under, and ultimately I have no faith in really either of these offenses. And if Stafford is nursing a ghost injury, I think it plays even better.
I think that's a good look. I like that.
And I would like to point out, I mean, OBJ questionable to play in this game. Darrell Henderson questionable to play in this game. And I think there might be a couple O linemen questionable playing this game.
Are they going to force out guys when you have the Cardinals on deck? Probably not.
Yeah. So, and it's if obviously they're expected to win this game, they're playing the Jaguars. But I mean, I'm sure you count. I'm sure NFL players just don't go into a game counting it as a win. But I would be stunned if they aren't already preparing for the Cardinals a little bit. And because like if they beat the Cardinals next week, they are still technically live to win in the division. This game does not mean as much to that. So
see, you guys have alluded to this both games, like preparing for 2 weeks out in advance. They're on a 3-game losing streak. Like, how are you just not going to prepare for the Jacks?
Yeah,
doesn't make sense to me.
Washington are here scheming all week for next week.
You got to prepare for who's in front of you. You can't look like 3 weeks ahead.
Well, I mean, that's next week.
Austin's playing like betting the Saints in like 4 weeks from now. I got confused.
No, I mean, they play at Arizona next week, I think.
James is right. I mean, the fact that they are coming in a 3-game losing streak, they are laser focused into this game, which is part of the reason why I kind of like the James's first half angle. They're probably come out firing here.
Yeah, if they beat the Packers, I'd be on your side in this one, Chaz. I'd sniff, like smell themselves a little bit. You got this probably spot, and then you got the Rams.
Above 14, too. But
I know.
I'm not on the Jags. I would like to make that clear. I'm on the under. I think both offenses are in bad spots. And I think the Jags defense is bad, but good enough to not give up 49 points. So
it's improving.
That's where we're at. The Ravens at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers getting 4.5 at home. Total's at 44. James, what do you think?
Oh, I do not want to touch this game. It's honestly Ravens or nothing for me. And it's crazy to say that because this line has already moved a point, but I don't know what to expect from the Steelers. They've just been playing such poor football. The offense actually looked pretty good against the Chargers, but I think the Chargers defense is just playing really bad right now. And then last week, that was just an abomination. That somehow with some of the games on the slate last week ended up being the worst game by far. I think this is a statement game for the Steelers. If they lose the Ravens here, I don't know what to expect from them the rest of the year. But I mean, this just feels like a game where Tomlin gets them up and gets them ready to play. So I won't be betting this personally, but I mean, this is a tough game.
I'm on the Ravens. I think the Steelers suck. And the fact that they lost TJ Watt for COVID list, a couple other defenders, the Muth bust, their tight end is also at most likely out with concussion. This Steelers defense now ranks 27th in the league on DVOA. And that's their calling card. That's how they win games. And to be ranked 27th in the league and to not have TJ Watt this game, I think the Ravens just have quite the advantage. Not to mention the Steelers have struggled this season against running quarterbacks. We saw them struggle against Herbert. I got a feeling Lamar is going to be able to just have his way on them. And it's a decent, I guess, an interesting bounce back spot for the Ravens as well, considering Lamar threw 4 picks last week. You could see Michelle Tafoya interviewed him after and just how upset he was because of his performance. I mean, this is the type of game where you bounce back, you beat your division rival, and you might beat them handedly because I think the Steelers defense is just that bad. So I like Baltimore. I think it's a like of mine.
I don't know. I think the Ravens, first of all, I think John Harbaugh should be in more coach of the year consideration. Just the fact that the Ravens are 8-3 is pretty mind blowing. The roster just is not very, it's not super talented, especially with all the injuries they've faced all year. Does kind of worry me a little bit. I'm not sure they should be laying 4.5 on the road. It's a pass for me here. Steelers just aren't very good. and Big Ben is not a game changer at quarterback. And if when your defense is underperforming, as Austin alluded to, you kind of need that. So I want no part of any side. I want no part of over the under. I'm just going to kind of hope it just doesn't come on red zone often. So that's where I'm at. Anything else?
Yeah. So one thing I want to say, so we still have our Lamar MVP tickets. I think they're dead. And I'm backing the Ravens here. So I'm backing Lamar, but I would like to say just how bad this Ravens offense has looked as of late.
So bad.
Disregarding they put up 34 against the Vikings, but in the last five performances, they really have not looked good. And if you look at this upcoming schedule, it's brutal. I mean, they got the Browns, the Packers, Bengals, Rams, Steelers again. This AFC playoff picture is really going to start, I think, changing a little. And if this Ravens offense doesn't figure it out, then they're going to slip down these standings very quickly. Lamar has to figure it out. And my bank this game is that they will, because they're playing a shitty Steelers team. But this Ravens team doesn't feel like even close to what past Ravens teams felt like. Which is why I don't think they're that live in the AFC. I think they have problems, even though they're the one seed right now.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure anyone smart anyways is saying that the Ravens are the best team in the AFC. I think that would be pretty ridiculous to say. But I mean, that being said, the AFC feels so, I mean, at the moment it feels so wide open. So I do kind of agree with what you're saying. Do you think that there is any value on, say, Bengals to win the AFC North, Browns to win the AFC North, maybe Chiefs to win the AFC?
It's tough because it's for all these AFC North teams, Steelers included, play just such brutal teams down the stretch. Bengals also have, I guess they're a little easier, but they still have the Chiefs, Browns, and Ravens they got to play again, and the Chargers this week. I think there is value. More so, I think – I mean, truthfully, I'm at the point where, and I will get to this on Monday night, which can be a good discussion. I think there's only two teams out of the AFC who I really believe can win it. And I think Kansas City's one of them. And to be honest, I think New England's the other. I think it's time to either get a future bet into one of those, which I think you've missed the party. But I don't know how much value there is.
I'm not out on the Patriots. I think they have a great team. And Bill Belichick is certainly the best coach alive. They've not been playing like the schedule is just kind of broken quite nicely for them. I'm not going to cry myself to sleep if I'm not in on some, really good New England price. If they come out and just take a steaming number two on the Bills, for me right now, it's Chiefs or nothing. So the AFC is the most confusing thing ever. I mean, the NFC too, to a lesser extent, but that's more so that there's just like a lot of good teams. I just don't necessarily feel that way about the AFC.
Agreed. I'm rooting for the Chiefs just for the Super Bowl sake.
Yeah, seriously.
Let's get to it. We're on Monday night now.
Seahawks hit Broncos Chiefs Monday night. The Patriots at the Buffalo Bills, game of the weekend, actually this time. The Jags might surprise us all. Patriots getting 2.5. Total is at 43. Are the Patriots the teaser leg, or is there a chance that they get blown out here?
I wouldn't tease them.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. I'll start.
I do like them.
I lean Bills. I think that it's for me, any side of three is what I was kind of looking at. I think Bills minus 2.5 is a good bet here. I do think the Bills are a good team, contrary to what I've kind of been saying all year long. There's just some things about the team that I just don't like, and it just exposes them to losing games they should be winning against a very buttoned up and good team like the Patriots. I think that they have less room for error. My one issue here is that, and this is somewhat similar to the Colts game that we had a bet on a couple weeks ago, is that I think that the way the Patriots offense sets up is that it's designed to do well against the Bills schematically, where the Bills have a bunch of people back and they aren't necessarily defending against the run. And they just kind of let the defensive line do the work. Now, in this case, they're not laying 7 or 7.5, and it's under 3. So I don't think that's as important. I think that there is a little value on the Bills. And I think that we might be getting a Patriots team that is a little bit overvalued here, especially in the primetime spot for Buffalo. So, lean the Bills. I think that this total feels a little bit low. But I'm curious what you guys think about that. James, why don't you start?
The Bills are like mine. I'll be going mano a mano against Austin in this one. I just think the Patriots are overvalued at this point. I mean, if you look at last week, that game was even through three quarters. I think the Titans were actually outgaining them to that point. It's just missed a field goal, two extra points, turnover in the red zone. They left points all over the field that game. They ran for 270 on the Patriots, which really doesn't help the Bills on the field against the Saints. I mean, Josh Allen threw two red zone picks, which is concerning to me because he's turned the ball over a little too much this year for my liking. But I just think we're getting a pretty good sell high spot on the Patriots here. Under three, I really like this. I think the Bills' home field in this game has got to be worth at least 2 points. This has to be the biggest game at the stadium in years. So I know the Bills fans will show out Monday night game. Huge game. I just trust Josh Allen more at this point in his career than I do Mac Jones. So under three, I think the Bills are like for me.
Yeah. Gladly taking your other side. I'm with you. I believe that the Patriots are a little bit overvalued. I think this number probably is a little bit short. But from a matchup point of view, I think the Patriots absolutely have the edge. You mentioned that the Bills have the home field. They may have the home field, but what they have coming in is 16-mile-per-hour wins. And I think this definitely favors the Patriots side, who, as Chaz mentioned, the Bills give up the run. The Patriots are going to gladly take that, and they're going to run the ball, and their offense is going to be moving throughout the game. So I'm not really too worried about this Patriots offense. And then I look at this Patriots defense. I see Josh Allen on the other side, and look, yes, he looked great last week. He had some red zone errors, which Patriots will gladly take advantage of, but he looked pretty good for the most part, but in a dome. When he's outside playing in wind, playing in poor conditions, he's a totally different quarterback. And against the Patriots defense, who has been playing very feisty this year, playing good defense, I think they're going to have success against him. So I really do believe that they have the advantage. Not to mention, this is also the first game without Tre'Davious White for the Bills. I think in a windy game, Belichick's not going to rely on Mac Jones too much, especially in his first primetime game. But if he has to make a throw here or there, I do think it is significant that the Bills are missing their number one corner. But I think that'll show its head maybe a little bit later in the year. But really, from a matchup point of view, I just think the Patriots are the play. I really do think that they're going to be able to excel in the ground game. And I haven't fully bought into them this year, but I'm bought in now. And I like how their defense is playing. And I'll gladly take the green button.
Austin, you swayed me a little bit. I kind of lean in Patriots. I forgot about the Trey White injury. Not only is he the Bills' best corner, he can certainly make the case for the best corner in football, just based on his body of work the past 3 years. I think that the Bills did get a little bit healthier on defense last week. I think Starla Tule is back, so that does help them a little bit against the run. And it does, when you get like a run stopper like that back, it lets the Bills get back to doing what they want to do, which is just eliminate the pass at all costs. I think that the reason why I just don't really want any part of the side here is that Sean McDermott is not an idiot. And I think that he does see that the Patriots are going to want to run the ball. And I think that with high wins, he might want to put Mac Jones in a little bit of a more difficult spot and make him make plays. So it's tough. You did sway me a little bit, though, kind of in the middle at this point. Oh, no. I'm absolutely excited to watch this game, though. It should be awesome. Probably it has the most important the winner of this kind of controls their destiny a little bit in terms of what happens in the AFC East. So,
I'd argue this is a bigger game for the Patriots and the Bills because the Patriots have already lost to the Dolphins. They play again in a few weeks, but if the Bills win this game, the Patriots will have two division losses. And I mean, I don't see the Bills losing to the Jets at home. So that's a huge tiebreaker. So if the Bills just went 1-2 against the Patriots, actually.
Maybe, but Bills still have Bucks on deck next week at Tampa. And then they play Pats later. There's still losable games on that schedule.
You're right.
But you make a good point.
I'm going to have to bet the Pats. The Bills might be preparing for the Bucks.
Oh, you're right.
yes, sir, the very noted spot of people looking ahead to Bill Belichick. That's it. Any other bets that we were thinking about making this week? Austin, there's a big Aztec basketball game Saturday.
Don't bet it. Don't bet it. Bet that Lamont Butler comes back soon. Honestly, I loved the Vikings Colts teaser that I placed earlier this week.
Yeah, that's a great bet.
But now that the Colts are -10, I'm not loving it as much. But honestly, I mean, I think you made a pretty good point for the Eagles. I hate taking two road favorites, but Vikings Eagles is a pretty good teaser.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I don't even hate laying the points in either of those. Like, obviously I'm going to do it with the Vikings, but the Eagles case is pretty compelling too. I think what's funny, Austin, is I saw the same stat as you. I saw they were 13th in rushdie, but I didn't see the stat. So I just assumed they were 13th in rushdie.
Yeah, I had to find it when Jazz told me they were the third worst team in the NFL.
Wait, so it was rush, just like it was just like stuff rate? Right?
It was they wrote it down. Run stop win rate. But
I don't so that's probably like first and 10, they hold them to like 2 yard runs, second and 7 or better. It's like they don't. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, yeah. What defines a successful play?
Yeah. It's just half yards on second down. I mean, that makes sense. That also just means that they're very, I mean, if you take that and then think about it further, I would argue it's even more glaring. And I would argue that the 7 points are worth even less because that just means that they're more liable to get hit with a home run play just against the run. So, I mean, if they're trailing late in the game, then Miles Sanders could just bust off a 60 yard run. So that's not necessarily good, but maybe that just means that they aren't necessarily trailing late. That's it. Once again, follow us on Twitter.
Wait, let's go over our plays.
Oh, great call, great call, great call. Austin, why don't you start? What were your likes?
My best bet was Broncos plus 10, which check out our Twitter. I got a feeling I might change it to Patriots. My five likes are football team, Patriots, Eagles, Jets, under, and the Falcons. And then I said, bitch, I'm a dog, woof, because I took all dogs in that.
Okay. James. What are your bets for this weekend?
My best bet is Vikings minus 7. My likes are the Niners minus 3, Rams minus 7 first half, Bills minus 2.5, and the Chargers plus 3.
And me, the guy with the best bet he barely likes, Niners minus 3. Niners by 40 this weekend. Chiefs Broncos under 47.5. Jags Rams under 48. Falcons plus 11. And the Texans first half money line plus 225. Once again, follow us on Twitter, just like we said. Stay tuned if we do make a best bet switch. I have a feeling that I might be doing it too. That being said, we've got college basketball stuff coming. I'm going to as bowl games come out, it's going to kind of be a little bit more difficult for James and I to you know, stay on top of line moves and news and stuff. So
Twitter.
Yes, Twitter. And bowl season is great because when those games drop, the lines open up immediately and there's bets to be made almost immediately. It's normally pretty easy to predict who's going to have guys sitting out and who won't be. So
breaking news too. Sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. I thought you were done. They added an additional bowl. So there are now 42 bowl games instead of 41.
Oh, geez. There's 42 now. I swear there's like 35.
84 teams are playing bowls. I thought it was like 30. I guess
I don't even know.
More money making opportunities.
I might expose myself for being dumb, but I'm not sure how that's mathematically possible with only like 125.
Well, like the SEC FBS got teams. Like I want to say 12 or 13 teams of their conference into a bowl game. So they just beat the hell out of bad teams. So like Vandy will finish 2-10. It's a free win for everybody else. And there's a lot of teams that go 6-6 or 7-5, like that type of thing.
Well, I'm not complaining. I wish they were 100 bowl games. So, Plenty to look forward to ahead. So make sure you go follow us on Twitter. And one more time, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcast. We appreciate it. Big weekend this weekend. Conference championships. If you haven't listened to the College Pod, go ahead and download and listen to that right now. Because I know James and I are going to stack some cash this weekend. And I know, as Austin always loves to say, we're going to be making some money this weekend. So Austin, what are we going to be doing this great football weekend?
Let's go make some money.
Let's do it. See you guys.